Oh, oh.
What's up? We have to start the podcast, Richie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Zach. I'm trying to fix my watch. It's stuck on 3 minutes to midnight for some reason.
Oh, and speaking of that, we're going to be doing a Doomsday Clock midnight opening.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that may be why it's a little messed up there.
That's got to be it.
So, we're going to be doing a midnight opening on November 22nd.
22nd.
At 11:57 p.m. That's going to be a Tuesday night, and that is going to be for the premiere of Doomsday Clock number 1.
Who's that by?
Written by Jeff Johns, artwork by Gary Frank.
Woo!
This is going to be the melding of the Watchmen universe and the DC universe.
We're finally going to get some answers, you think?
Yep.
Wow.
It's going to be crazy. They've already announced the covers. They're going to be crazy cool.
I've seen some of them. They're great.
There's the regular cover. There's a Gary Frank cover with Dr. Manhattan and Superman.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awesome lenticular.
Rorschach lenticular, yeah.
That's just crazy. And then also for the midnight event, only if you come to the midnight event, you're going to be able to get the Midnight Doomsday Clock number 1 exclusive cover. It's a special thing for only the stores that are doing midnight events.
Right, so obviously we're going to represent IWMC is here for you, the fans, and we're going to make sure we get that cover in for you.
Exactly. Also that night, we'll officially announce everything online if you want to check out the little details, but we're going to have discounts on stuff like Watchmen, Rebirth, The Button,
mm-hmm.
Tons of cool stuff. We're going to have some discounts on that. And Richie and I are going to dress up as well, so if you want to come
there's a potential of that for sure.
Yeah, so if you want to come hang out with us, it's going to be a killer book. Everything about it has been. I'm just been going crazy. The buzz is super high on this.
And I wouldn't want to spend the end days with anybody else but you guys.
Yes.
So come hang out with Zach and I on November 22nd. Doors open at 11:30 p.m.
Yep.
And we are going to be waiting for you, the fans, to push this to one of the best events ever.
Exactly. We ordered some great number of copies here because I think everyone's going to want every cover. I think the covers are all killer and they're great. We're also going to be doing a podcast kind of breaking down the first issue, so look forward to that on your podcasts.
Right. Well, I guess my clock is going to just stay there until that happens.
All right.
So might as well start the show.
Glenn Beck better duck like foie gras. Make shots, poke his face like Gaga. My mama says forgive, so I'll give him that bar like a Mars, then let him live. The Mississauga continues, Brampton, while my DJ's lamping like Green Lantern. Sampling, mansion, now I ain't rich as Richard Branson. I'm King Kong, he's Vince Vaughn, and I play like a champion in my Monday ball league. Nah, be all week. 7 days of black power naps every 48 half hours. That's 24 star Jack Bauer. Can't cower when the rain falls, and it falls whether you're Gandhi or you're A.
Hello and welcome to the I Want More Comics podcast, episode 62.
Ooh.
I'm Zach.
I'm Richie.
I'm me.
Sean's back.
Who's me?
I'm Sean. Me. Guess who's back? Wee.
good old Sean.
Yeah. Good old Sean. I'm not old.
He's back
I'm
now.
I'm beautiful.
Good, beautiful Sean.
Yep.
That's weird to say.
No, it's fine.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it's fine.
He's back now. All right.
Good.
So we're going to jump into the news.
So, I don't know. I really thought it was over.
Okay, so this past week was New York Comic Con.
Yes.
And a ton of different stuff was...
I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah,
it did, yeah.
A ton of stuff was announced, and I just picked a couple of things here.
Yeah.
I did hear about there's like some trailer that came out that you guys all got giddy about or something.
Yes, there's a Justice League trailer.
No, it was the different trailer.
The Doomsday Clock?
No.
Doomsday Clock?
Yeah.
Star Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, Star Wars, yes.
There's so much good stuff coming out.
there is so much good stuff coming out.
So talk about one of them.
Okay, so the first thing...
So pick, damn you.
Pick one. Grant Morrison has been announced that he will co-write Sideways with Dan DiDio, part of the Dark Matter Universe books.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Dan DiDio.
Yep. Sideways, and if you don't know what the Dark Matter books are, they are a new series of...
He's like a chichia pet.
Chichia. They are a new series of new characters that is going to be spinning out of metal,
mm-hmm.
And they've announced that different creators and different writers are going to be, you know, partaking in
them.
And this Sideways is going to be done with, if I remember correctly, it's John Romita Jr., and Dan DeDio, but now at New York Comic Con, they announced that Grant Morrison is going to help write them.
Nice.
They also announced that Steve Orlando is doing a book called The Unexpected, and they announced a couple...
Oh, that's pretty unexpected.
Yep, they announced a couple of other books from the Dark Matter, but ones that will be coming out later.
Did you miss me, Richie?
That was awful. Yes. I thought this will be interesting from Sean's perspective and from ours as DC Metal Geeks. Yes. DC officially announced that Metal will get a soundtrack written and played by the guitarist for Marilyn Manson.
Interesting.
And
which guitarist? He's had a few.
The article just said the guitarist for Marilyn Manson. So
no names, huh?
He did the soundtracks for some movies that have come out recently.
I think it was Twinkles.
Yeah. But anyway,
you're awful.
But they officially announced that this is going. They officially announced that this is going to be, it's the full thing. It's an actual soundtrack. You can buy it on CD. Nothing about vinyl yet, Sean. But they said they said they're going to be doing a 6-track EP from Warner Brothers, and it'll be produced by Tyler Bates, the guitarist for Marilyn Manson. He worked on Watchmen 300 and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Very cool.
And so what do you think about that? A soundtrack for a comic book.
I love it. It's
they've done it before.
They have. Yes.
They've been doing it actually for a while.
Yeah. What was the vinyl that came for that local comic shop that you remember?
Oh, it's a God Shaper?
Yeah.
God Killer.
Yeah, God Killer.
God Killer. Yeah.
Yes, they did God Killer.
They did that in vinyl. That was pretty sweet. I thought it was cool.
It was a picture disc, too. Yeah. Pretty cool. Well, way back in the day for Dawn, the comic book character... Mm-hmm. Joseph Michael Linsner had Gary Newman actually do a soundtrack that you can read while you're reading Dawn, Return of the Goddess, I think is what it was. And that was like 20 years ago or something. So.
Heck, back in the day, they used to have like audio that you could play on a vinyl while you read your comic so it would like read to you.
Yep.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and
sampling those things for like when you're DJing is golden. They are so good.
I really think that,
well, it's because it's really funny. Sense. I've had a bunch of them, right?
Yeah.
And I love DJ Kubert, and he put out Wave Twisters, and there was like these samples on there, and I could never figure out where they were from. Well, I bought the Wonder Woman vinyl that came out in the 70s, and I was listening to it, and I was like, oh, there they all are. That's all the samples right there. That's really awesome.
I think that music and comics is a great way.
Sure.
It
fits with the story.
As long as you can actually still read the comic and listen. Because some people have to just focus on the comic and listen to music.
Yeah.
I am not one of those people. I can listen to music and juggle and read a comic and talk to my wife at the same time.
Right.
So. Well, I usually listen to music while I read books or comics.
Right.
It's usually instrumental.
Okay.
And that really helps me concentrate. If I listen to like the Beatles or something, then I'm sitting there. I go, yeah. Well, I can't concentrate. But if it's like classical or movie soundtracks or something, then I'm just like,
I'm zoned in.
Yeah. But it makes sense for metal because the whole event is supposed to be about rock metal.
Yeah.
So getting a rock metal guitarist and writer to do 6 songs for it makes sense. This I thought was pretty interesting. I don't know if Sean heard this. I wanted to hear what he thought. Also announced at New York Comic Con is...
Like it disappeared for a year or something.
Yes.
I don't know what Sean's doing or thinking anymore. he didn't talk to me every day for like 10 days. And then this is the first time I've seen him. And now he's like,
Who are you?
Yeah. I wonder what's going on.
You're my dad!
They announced
in the corner the other day.
They announced a 5-issue miniseries. They announced a 5-issue miniseries written by Jeff Lemire and Keith Giffen. They are going to be doing The Inferior Five.
It looks cool.
Yeah. It's going to be set in the 1980s.
I saw some art from him already too.
Yep. Jeff Lemire said that he's going to be writing and drawing backup stories, but he's co-writing with Keith Giffen. And the Inferior Five, for anyone who's listening, are really obscure. Even for me as a DC fanatic, Richie said, who are those guys?
Yeah.
And I said, well, they showed up in one issue that Straczynski did of DC Comics Presents like almost 10 years ago. And then they had some miniseries like in the 80s. And that's about it. So it's a really offbeat, kind of thing.
I wonder
thing.
If you could find all their issues.
Yes, you probably could.
I'm just joking.
You probably could.
It's jokes.
But it's Jeff Lemire. Yeah. Come on. You got to pick it up,
I'm already in, yeah.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I want to talk about really quickly before we get into picks of the week is the Doomsday Clock announcement at New York Comic Con. They showed 6 pages from the book, and
I gotta tell you, so those 6 pages landed on the internet, and I was showing them off to people that came in on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I showed the Francis twins, and then Anthony came in, and I was like, "Sit down and read." He's like, "Oh heck yeah!" And he sits there, he goes, "Oh man, this is wordy."
I love Anthony.
I was like, yeah, man, it's like Watchmen. He's like, oh, yeah, they were real Watchmen with this. Oh, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I can't do this. And he walked away. he's like, I'll go sit and read it when it comes out. But
no, yeah.
That's awesome.
That was just Anthony, dude.
It's the greatest.
Yeah. So so they talked to Jeff Johns with Lev Grossman. They streamed the panel. We watched it here. You can find it on our Facebook and on YouTube. Really cool little panel. Yes, you can. And it has me just really stoked for Doomsday Clock even more than I was because, you know, Jeff Johns and Gary Frank really seemed to be going for it.
Yes.
I mean, we all knew they would be, but we didn't think they would actually do the cursing and the violence and the things like that, and they are.
Yeah, and the, like...
hide your kids.
Yeah, like my story would suggest, the content in these 6 pages is meaty. Like, there's a lot there, and it brings up a ton of questions about that universe in general and what may or may not have happened. So,
sure.
It doesn't give away anything while giving you a ton as well. So,
there you go.
I can't wait.
Yep, me either. Sean?
It'll be something you read when it comes out.
Excellent.
All right. Is that what you wanted me to do?
That's fine.
You know, I don't do the hype thing. I don't know. The hype train passes right by, and I'm like,
what do you think about the new Justice League trailer?
Actually, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's really good.
No, I saw the Star Wars one.
What did you think of the Star Wars one?
It looks like it's going to be a movie.
I think so, too. I think it will be a movie as well.
A film that you go see in the theater.
Yes.
I don't know. I think they purposely put a red herring in there, and everybody's wigging the fuck out about
it. Yeah.
So, yes. I think that there's some red herrings, but I think that there's also some truths hidden there.
I watched it once. I'm not like you, who probably, what?
I watched it once.
What are you, like 13 times now?
No, 27? I watched it 13 times. No.
Where are you at? You got to be somewhere
four
up there.
Four or five.
Yeah, so I watched it once, and I will probably not watch it again until I watch the movie. Yeah.
I'll see it in, like, probably the...
But you guys have to understand, is that...
Thor trailer.
No, but you have to understand... That I loved, just going on a tangent here, I loved Blade Runner so much after I saw it.
Yeah.
I still watch the trailers. Okay? I still watch the trailers, even though I've seen the movie
now.
Don't ever do that. Yes,
I will say that there was a screaming porg in it, and I'm okay with that.
Screaming porg is good.
I don't understand why everybody's all in love with these porgs.
Because they have the face of a pug and the body of a penguin.
So really
do
quick,
you need more
who
than
cares?
Do you need more?
I don't care.
They scream, too. That's
great.
Even better.
Sounds awesome.
You're right.
Oh, look, it's some little cute thing to take my money. Oh, no, I'm good. I'll pass. My cold black heart doesn't care about that thing.
I'm going to buy you a porg, and I'm going to break you. You'll see.
When they do the sideshow porg,
yeah.
The life-sized?
Yeah.
We'll get one. We'll get a couple.
Yeah, whatever.
Fantastic.
He'll be snuggling them at night.
It sounds like
I don't even understand. He goes home and says,
So anyway, back to Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
When it comes out, I'll be excited to read it, especially if it's, you know, going to be as good as everybody thinks it's going to be.
And stay tuned. Probably sometime in this, later on this month, we'll be making an announcement about Doomsday Clock.
We are? Yes. What are we doing? I don't want
to
do this.
Maybe.
Why did
this
make me do everything?
Butts.
Why did I start this comic book store?
That's right.
It's like out of control now. I have like no control. I just am like along for these weird rides. Because
yes.
Like, we're doing this thing. I'm all, oh God.
Well, it may just turn into a Richie and I dressing up in costume to do something. So,
holding each other.
If you guys dress up in a costume, I'm definitely not coming. Well, maybe I will and I'll have eggs.
Maybe.
To throw at you.
That's fine. Okay, let's get into picks of the week.
Hard-boiled eggs?
No. So, in this picks of the week, because Sean has been gone for the last couple weeks.
Yes.
I got no picks.
He's got nothing. And Rich and I, we decided to, we wanted to talk about 3 books, and we wanted to talk about them as a cohesive unit.
Yeah, because we're going to get it out of the way.
Yes.
And just know that it's a great series, and we're always
But we want to officially put on record how we think about these these books.
Yeah.
And, of course, what we're talking about are the Dark Knights metal one-shots for the different Batman. The three that are out as of this recording.
I haven't even read them yet.
Well, you haven't been around.
Yeah, well, I've been, like, gearing up to go to Ireland. Yes, I know. And then I went to Ireland, and then they all kind of came out. Sure. And I'll read them probably this weekend.
So the three that have come out is Batman the Red Death, Batman the Murder Machine, and Batman Dawnbreaker. And so...
Sweet artwork.
Yes.
Looks like a comic.
Does, doesn't it?
So the...
Come on, that looks awesome.
Yeah, I love that panel. So the Batman Red Death is the Flash analog, the Murder Machine is the Cyborg analog, and Dawnbreaker is the Green Lantern analog.
Correct.
And so we want to talk about them because some people are just reading the metal event and not Ricardo taking the tie-ins. Chief. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Italian. Great name.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a great...
That is an artist,
he better be an awesome artist with a
right?
name like
that.
Yeah, the guy
Ricardo Federici.
The guy who did that art...
Brilliant!
He's either a fantastic artist or he's a killer pizza maker. That's it.
That's pretty racist.
That's
what?
Whoa. Anyway, so the guy
I don't know if it's racist.
Everybody who does...
The guy who did the art of Murder Machine is the guy who did the poster for Metal. So if you've seen that anywhere... That metal.
I didn't say he wears overalls and jumps and pipes.
Anyway, let us go back to Batman. Dark Knight's metal one shots here.
Yeah, let's do that.
I love Zach bringing this back every time. Okay. He's so cute.
I'm trying.
He always looks so defeated when he's doing it. I wish y'all could see his face. I'm going to take a picture one of this time. I'm going to post that.
The best part is the hand where he's like,
I know, he's
stop.
He's like, no, we need to go. that we've completely
I know.
I don't know why Zach needs to go off on a tangent. Let's just talk about these Batmans.
I know. What is going on, Zach? Why are you derailing us?
Yeah. Is this was on a family show? I'd be saying some other words. Anyway, so three of them are out right now.
Yes.
As of this recording. And, because Sean hasn't read them, we can't talk about them too crazy.
Nah,
but
it's okay.
Yeah, but
no, seriously, you guys can go on spoilers and stuff. It doesn't bother me.
So they are fantastic.
Don't forget all of it.
Especially we want to talk about the stories on all three of them have been awesome.
Right. The trick to these Batman are they are all from the Dark Multiverse, and the Dark Multiverse is essentially worlds that were created based on the hopes and fears of the heroes from the main Earth. So they're kind of like the multiverse, but what should happen is, like, if Batman were to have a hope or a fear, it would create this mythical world that would wrap around that fear or hope, and it would twist in a dark way and then actually dissipate. The world itself would actually dissipate. So these stories are the stories telling... where these guys came from, which hopes or which fear might have shifted this planet right before their planet's decimation.
Yes.
Bad day, man.
Yeah.
And so they're not good, happy Batman.
No.
They're all bad Batman. But again, that's the whole point
Is
of this.
Really good, happy Batman?
Not really. I think that we have the best version of the Batman, so if you were to go any other direction, that's why these ones seem almost... visceral in their anger and frustration and don't even have a redeeming quality because they're his worstest fears or biggest hopes.
Yes, exactly.
Because he's not a great guy in general.
It's because he's kind of a sociopath.
Kind of.
There you go.
But he's our good sociopath.
Yes.
he's our sociopath.
This reality's good sociopath.
Yes. So.
Yeah, and so there's still a couple more coming out.
Got some weird trust issues too.
Yeah, so I don't want to give a ton away, but I do want to kind of set up the ideas of these things. So I want to tell them.
Okay.
Well, if you're going to do the spoilers thing, here's your spoilers.
Yeah, here's your spoiler. If you don't want to know anything about it, fast forward.
Fast forward a couple minutes. Yeah. But we'll tell you, go find these books. They are hard to get. Yeah, they are sold out. Even the upcoming ones, Diamond and DC have told us that they are sold out. We cannot order any. In fact, we just ordered second printings on books that haven't even come out yet for these. So if you see these and you've been kind of going, oh, I like metal, but I don't know, if you find these three, pick them up. Just
if you have
go
any
right
slight
now.
Interest,
yeah.
pick them up.
Go right now. Yes. But anyway. So the first one that came out was Red Death.
Right.
And that's going to be how did Batman get with the Flash or whatever.
So in a world where Bruce Wayne knows Barry Allen and he's like, hey, you have access to the Speed Force. Why not you, why not help me tap into that so I can save my parents from being shot?
And kind of like what you did, you kind of like, you know, he wants to do a flashpoint.
Yeah. You were able to do it with yours. Why can't I do it with mine? And he says that's not the way it works. And he takes that personally. And he straps him to his Batmobile and uses that to kick on the Speed Force. And they meld into one dude.
Yes.
And he names himself Red Death.
Yes. And hilarity ensues.
Yes. And that's from there, there's awesomeness abound of the way he communicates.
All I'm hearing in my head right now is the Benny Goodman.
You could put that
pretty much.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that the one shot is done by the writer and artist of the Flash book.
Correct.
Which I thought was very cool.
I think so too.
Then there's the second one.
So then we move into Murder Machine, and you can go ahead and take this
one. So Murder Machine, this one's going to be done by Frank Thierry and the, however you say this guy, the Ricardo Federici, and James Tynion.
Yeah.
Who, again, like I said earlier, if you've seen the artwork for the metal posters with all the different Batman, that's the artist who does the interiors here.
Yes.
And basically, you find out that in this world, Alfred has died from a disease. Very cool throwback to Batman and Robin. Yes, yeah. There is a throwback to Batman and Robin in here. Alfred dies from a horrible disease. Mr. Freeze tries to save him, and Batman can't go on.
Yeah.
So he learns about Cyborg and kind of how Cyborg is this living entity, and he decides that he's going to bring back Alfred as a AI.
Yeah.
So he'll be everywhere all at once, and he can always have Alfred by his side. Mm-hmm. And that backfires.
Dude has some serious daddy issues.
Yeah. And it backfires, and he takes over Bruce's body with the virus. Yep. So the Murder Machine is actually a Alfred Batman with Cyborg's tech, who just kills people.
Correct.
So.
So you don't invite him over to your birthday
party. Do not. So that was fantastic.
Have a bad birthday.
Well, the biggest thing about this book is the art. Even, like I said, even some of the people who haven't been picking these up or don't want to pick them up saw this artwork and gone, sold out instantly.
And then we move into the third, which is Dawnbreaker.
Which was, so far, my favorite of the three.
Mine as well.
Yes, and that's one's written by Sam Humphries.
With the GL one?
Yes.
Yep, GL.
Sam Humphries wrote it, and Ethan Van Sciver did the art.
Yes, and this is a scenario where things happen just like they would. Batman's parents die.
Yep.
But in this case, right as they die, the ring finds Bruce and says, "You seem to be able to conquer fear.
Yep.
We've chosen you to be a Green Lantern." At this point, it's not probably a great time for Bruce to be putting on the ring. Uh-huh. So he gets the ring, and immediately the ring... He tries to take on Joe Chill.
Yeah, he wants to kill him. Yeah.
And Joe Chill's like, "Hey, man, we're cool." And he's like, "No, kill." And the ring's like, "Nope, I don't want to kill." And Bruce is like, his willpower starts gaining control, and he breaks the ring, and it kills. And he starts creating these dark creatures and becomes what's called the Dawnbreaker.
Yes.
Several things happen in this book that are just brutal, and I think it adds to its brutalness because he's young.
Yes.
Most of the time he's young, and then, you know, they do like a fast forward. But just there's so much in that book that's he has his own oath, which is great.
If you know,
he has his own oath. Yeah.
If you know anything about like Green Lantern Rebirth or any of the
any
of that, Van Sciver's art in there was amazing.
And he just comes back.
He comes back
to the vengeance of this one too.
It's killing.
I know he's a little bit of a controversial figure because of his
political views,
sociopolitical views.
Right.
But that's fine.
His artwork is great. Really good.
Yeah, his artwork's awesome.
And so, to me, it's definitely one of the best out of the three. And that's only until the new ones come out.
Yeah,
so,
The Ground is next week as of this recording.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll probably be out when you hear this. But that's the Aquaman one.
I'm curious.
Mm.
Do you think they decided to do all this metal stuff because of Capullo? Because, you know, he's a giant metal.
He's giant, yeah.
Like, well, Godzilla-sized metal.
So Snyder has said that he came up with this idea And
because Snyder sounds like a Capullo going, yeah.
Yeah. When you look at all the metal, like anytime, yes. it's Capullo getting to do just all of what he wants.
Yes. Well, so two things.
After the success of Batman, they're like, you want to do this book that's all heavy metal style? Go for it.
Capullo is the one who came up with the name. He's like, we should call this metal. And also, this is not super well known, but it was actually part of his contract that Capullo wouldn't do team books. And he wouldn't do crossovers and big events because he doesn't like that. He likes to do one character.
He likes to focus on the
thing. He likes character like Spawn or Batman. But again, going to what you said, he came up with this idea and he said, "Fine, yeah. I'll draw everybody. I don't care. I will do this." So Capullo is really.
I'm pretty sure he got to design the Dark Knights.
He
too, did, right?
Yes, yeah. He designed the Dark Knights.
Hence, the Man Who Laughs looks like a legit Iron Maiden,
villain. Yes. So there's a couple more one shots. There's the Drowned. There's the Devastator. Uh-huh. There's
the Man Who Laughs.
And then the Wonder Woman one.
Wrath. Yeah.
The Wrath. Yeah. Yeah. So there's still a couple more of these coming out. They come with these really cool little buttons.
Yeah. If you're on your shirt.
If you're.
If, just noticed that.
If you're.
I've had this shirt since '83.
I'm gonna hit you.
Anyway. So we just wanted to spotlight them, let you guys know that they're really good. If you've been enjoying metal, these are a great side thing to pick up.
Uh-huh.
We've really been enjoying the tie-ins. We also feel like that's, you know, pretty big into it. But if you don't want to read anything about Green Arrow or the Teen Titans or anything, you don't have to. But these one-shots are pretty imperative to metal as in.
I would say that they justify how feared these Dark Knights are.
Yes.
I think it's only in that case that you would really need to read these is to really figure out why the Justice League are having such a hard time with them.
Sure.
It's artwork's fantastic. Even as they're just a pick-up and read, you could just read one of them and have a great time with
them. Yes, exactly. They're a great one story.
It's interesting to me that think about people in about 15, 20 years who are going back and looking for these books, and they're going to be the first-time readers because they're younger kids, and they're going to be trying to hunt these things down.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what's going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we get customers now that are hunting down stuff that I read in the 90s that I didn't like very much.
Right.
But they're still like, I want to buy them all.
Yeah.
I want to find them all because you can't get them any other way.
Well, Richie and I kind of had this conversation last night.
It's interesting.
We had this discussion about how, especially because we read Metal number 4, and then we go into Mr. Miracle number 3, and I had this epiphany that this is the stuff that turns you into that grumpy comic book guy, because in like 20 years,
this is what you're going to harken back to that you remember liking.
Someone's going to be like, "Oh, have you seen this sweet Batman story?" And I'll be like, "Call that a Batman story."
You know, this Mr. Miracle guy's kind of cool. I liked him a long time ago.
You guys are going to turn into the hipster douches.
I don't want to do it.
It's going to happen.
I was so giddy reading this book. I was like, I don't know if this is the moment. This is where I'm going to come back to and be like, that ain't Batman.
Exactly. Hey, so
here, read this, you stupid kid.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, well, that was fun. Let's go into spinning the racks.
I like it.
Spinning the racks. Da-da-da, da-da-da,
da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. Spinning the racks.
So in spinning the racks is kind of a half and half here today. First thing we want to talk about is Sean is now back.
Yay!
And Sean actually went to some comic book stores in Ireland.
Yay!
And I was
on New Comic Wednesday.
On New Comic Wednesday, and I wanted to hear how it was, what was going on. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't privy to his private Facebook, so I got to see a little bit about what he saw. But I wanted to hear, what did he think? What did he see? What do American comics and comics over in Ireland look like?
I'm gonna be real surprised.
Is it just us with an accent?
Yeah.
It's on paper, you douche. There's no accent.
I meant
on
the
paper.
Guys there, like the people that sell, and you know.
Actually, so it was really interesting. I was out of the blue on a Wednesday. Tara, we had done our couple day trips a couple days before, and I was like, well, let's just go kind of shop around. And then I just got the idea because we stumbled upon a comic book store that I didn't see. And this was after we went and did the whiskey tour.
Right. So, as you do. So as you do.
I was like a couple whiskeys in.
Yep.
I was like, yeah. Let's go to the store.
Right.
So the first store we hit was called Sub City in Ireland.
All right.
And I didn't even know it was there. I just stumbled into it. We were walking down the street. I was like, oh, it's a comic book store. Right. I was like, oh, it's Wednesday. Hey, we should go in here. And she's like, okay. You know. Yep. So we go in, and it's not a super huge store. I think the store in total square footage, maybe 600 feet.
Oh, okay.
It was small.
Yeah, small. Yeah, that's small. Okay.
I mean, they had current issues, and they didn't... They, unlike some stores I've heard where they only carry Marvel DC here in the States, and we are not that store. We carry...
Everything.
Freaking everything.
Yes.
Right.
I think, this is going to sound weird, I went to four different stores, and you could seriously fit all four in our one store.
Wow.
All four. Okay. Yeah. Except for maybe Forbidden Planet.
Okay.
Because they were doing construction, and I didn't see the downstairs where supposedly all the stuff is.
Gotcha.
So, but I went into Sub City, and I wanted to strike up a conversation with the people behind the counter because there was one guy behind the counter kind of checking people out, and there was a girl doing back issues and pricing stuff and stuff. They wouldn't even say hi. I was like, wow, you guys are really cold. Bad example because you're like that typical comic book right? person who's introverted and doesn't talk to people. I'm all, this is bad. So I started looking around, and the funny thing is like, you guys talk about what's the different kind of comics that they have there.
Yeah.
They don't really have a lot of, they order directly from Diamond as well.
All of them did. Oh my goodness, okay.
So every single one, American price tags, there's no Euro price tag on any of them. They were straight up what you would see on our racks.
Okay. Cool. That's pretty much, really interesting.
Pretty much mirrored, except they had a lot like less stuff than we right. carry.
Sure.
Because they don't do a lot of the super independent stuff.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm sure. However, they did have a section of more local stuff, which was completely different.
Sure.
But the local stuff that was there, I was not super interested in, so I didn't buy any of it.
Sure.
And that stuff had like the Euro
mark
on it, you know. But like their pricing was $2.99, $3.99, just like you would see here.
Okay.
American comic books, man. I was like, all right.
That's weird.
That is weird.
They had a little bit of toys, a little bit of other nerd paraphernalia stuff. It looks, if you've seen a Diamond catalog, their store looked like a Diamond catalog, kind of.
Gotcha.
Now, the first one I went into, they had some back issues, not a lot. A lot of the pricier back issue comics that you would consider, I guess, key books maybe, or something like that, that they had up on the walls, were really current stuff.
Like
DC Millennium? Rebirth.
I was gonna say like 2006.
And then they had a little bit of Silver Age stuff, then zero gold and anything.
Right.
In the Silver Age stuff, so they had a Superman's Girlfriend Lois Lane I really wanted to buy because it was one I didn't have. So I had the guy pull it down off the wall, and that's when I said, "Hey, can I look at this book?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'll pull it down for you." And that's when he actually talked to me. Is when I asked for something. So he comes over, he pulls it down, and gives it to me, and I kind of start looking over it. This book is hammered.
I mean, I don't know how it got to art. How'd it get there?
It's hammered, and he wants $50 for it.
Oh.
And we would have charged about $7.
Oof.
So I was like, I can't do it. It would be kind of cool to buy this and say I got it from Ireland. The cover has two folds in it, and it's like ripped halfway up the spine. I'm all, $48, huh? In euros, which means it's $60 American. Oh, I was like, oh, man. Oh, man.
Boy. Oh, boy.
This is a little expensive.
That is a little expensive. But you got to imagine that it's tough to find those kind of comics in Ireland, you know?
Yeah, but not for me here.
Yeah, no, but you can find them here, you know?
I was going to say is that I definitely think...
that's a supply and demand thing
there. That's what I was thinking, is that I really feel like some of the... Especially like the Silver Age and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I bet you that over there...
What do we charge for a DC Rebirth number one currently?
$10.
What do you think they charge for it over there?
DC Rebirth. Now, they should be able to
get
that.
Rebirth number... The one-shot that came out before all this stuff.
I'm going to guess they had 30 euros, so like $40.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like $40 getting there.
Yeah, and I think that
they got that from Diamond.
Sure.
So,
but is Diamond charging them for an international, or is it just
Diamond, it's probably pretty close to what we were getting charged here.
They get charged, and they also get stuff late.
It depends on your account. No, they don't get stuff late.
No, they don't?
They had this week's books, like you guys had. Because I looked at the picture, and I was looking at their shelf, and I was like,
oh, okay.
I was like, pretty much the same stuff.
Right. I know that some places get it later, so it must be maybe that's cheaper or something to get it later.
I do know this much, that because we have people that come here internationally, I mean, there was a girl from Australia that came last week. Mm-hmm. She was here for a week.
They have different importing charges in Australia and Japan, so their stuff's going to be later.
There's one dude that actually comes here all the time. I think he might have a hold slot. He's from London.
Yeah, he has a hold slot. He's cool.
And he talked, because we tell him, like, you know, you can get comics in London, you know, and he's like, it's really kind of tough, actually. You can get them in London, but, like, outside of the city, it's so hard to find a comic shop.
This is what I'm saying, is I only went to the four comic shops I went to were in Dublin.
If I went
to the cliffs some more, there ain't no comic shops out there.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fields that are green and rocks. And then some weird random...
You should talk to the locals and be like, where can I get a Superman comic here?
Well, and then they had all those crazy walls that were built out of stone that people were getting paid for when there was massive... They have all that, but they didn't get a comic book store.
That's awesome.
So it was a little overpriced. So I left. I didn't buy anything out of that store.
Uh-huh.
And then we went back because the first day I was there, I found Forbidden Planet. So we went in, and they had the same similar basic setup, but they had way more statues and way more toys. And they have a Sideshow account, so they had all these Sideshow statues in there.
Yeah,
you know, but when you walked in the door, it was the main little quick walkway, and then you can go up a couple steps, and there's like the... where they ring you out, and then another main little, tiny little area for a real current back issues.
Right.
Nothing else. I couldn't go downstairs, and I couldn't go in the adjoining room, because they had them taped and roped off, and they were doing construction in there. So I actually don't know how big that store was. It could have been really cool. Sure. I just happened to go at a time
when
I couldn't look at everything. And I think I talked to Ray, one of our customers, and he said, no, it was really cool in there. I said, yeah, I didn't get to see all that.
Right.
He's like, they have a ton of back issues downstairs. I'm like, I couldn't go downstairs. Yeah.
Feels like...
I will say, though, they had artwork from everybody that they've had signing in the store. And it's a dream to get that many people to come do signings in your store.
Right.
They had a wall. They probably had 30, 40
Holy
different
cow.
Original sketches from all these people that had done signings at that Forbidden Planet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That blew me away. I was like, only in Dublin.
Yeah, right.
Because here in America, you ask people to come do a signing at your store, it's like pulling teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're on the con circuit. They don't care about going to stores anymore.
Right. And
they're going to make their money at a con.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not as, you know, they're losing time doing work. They're losing time doing all. It's, so it's really hard. You got to make it really worth their while for them to come out to
Absolutely.
Your store.
And even if they were to go to a store, why would they leave the state that they're in?
Yeah.
If they,
it's,
you know.
Even like we've offered travel, we've offered hotel, we've even gotten to the point where we're offered, like, you know, to compensate wages possibly lost just to get somebody here. It's hard.
It's tough.
So just to see a wall of all these people that have signed, and it's a lot of people that you know.
I'm sure.
And I was just like, damn. Well, and they're international. I don't remember how many stores they have, but I know they have one in London. I know they have that one in Dublin. I know they have one in New York, and I know there's like one or two more.
Yes,
nice.
So they're a big chain.
Yeah.
They're an international chain. So
So they can make it worth it.
Yeah. So I mean, the store could have been super cool, but like I said, I didn't get to see a lot of it.
So what was the?
So I went to another sub city, which is supposed to be the big one.
Oh, okay.
And it was basically the other one, only with a little bit more stuff. And they had another Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, I needed. I tried to look at that, and it was more expensive. So, for about the same condition,
and
I was
one
just
fold
like,
in the cover.
It was actually missing a chip in there.
Oh, well.
And I was like, I'm not paying you $70 for this. The funny thing is, while I was standing there was like these high school girls. There was like three of them, and they were all kind of looking through stuff. And she's like, "Well, I was thinking about these, but I don't know what they're about." Yeah. And I just happened to be standing there. And I saw what she had in her hand. I was like, "I said, this is this one. This is about this, and this is about this." And they were all just staring at me like I was some really creepy weirdo.
Right.
I just looked and I was like, "I own a comic book store."
My bad. Yeah.
And they go, "Oh, okay." She's like, "We didn't know." And I was like, "No, it's fine." I said, "But I read all these, and honestly, this is the coolest one."
Right.
And then she put them all back and got something else.
Minds socially. They're like, "What are you doing?
No,
what are
God,
you just
you're
talking
to us?"
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, you asked your friends what they were about. They didn't know. So I'm trying to help you.
Exactly.
That's cool.
That's crazy.
Then I went to the last one because we just happened to be kind of traipsing around and decided, hey, we got a little bit of time to kill before we go eat dinner.
Right.
So I go to this one. It's called Dublin City Comics.
Okay.
And we get there, and apparently it was not a great part of town.
Huh?
Because we're trying to open the door, and it...
I'm just reading his notes.
We tried to open the door, and I couldn't open the door. And then I hear... and I'm like, what the hell? What? And I look up, and the guy's all, and he buzzes me in.
So he apparently is waving him through, yeah. Right?
Oh, buzz so him. I got buzzed store? Into a comic book store. I was like, that's bizarre.
Yeah, that would be bizarre.
You know, and I guess it was not a good part of Dublin to be good, but I walked all over Dublin, right. Dude. I'm surprised nobody shanked me and stole my money. Right. I mean, I was definitely in some areas probably I shouldn't have.
You're
been,
like, no,
but
this is bad.
Me, I'm just kind of like, yeah, whatever, we'll find out when we get there.
Right.
Shit happens.
Right.
So we get busted and I go in, and this was more of like your toy store than comic store.
Oh, okay.
They had way more toys. They had original Transformers and original G.I. Joes and like out of the package and stuff, and they had toys from the 60s and 70s, nice. And just gotcha. Toys everywhere. Mm-hmm. And oh my god! And
like, where's your comics? He's like, there's six over there.
Like, do you have back issues? He's like, no, we don't really do back issues, but we have these comics here. Wow. And the one distinctive thing I remember about the store is it smelled like cat urine.
Oh,
heavily ammonia, heavily. I was just like, whoa. Oh, and I said, Tara, do you smell that? She's like, your sense of smell is like way off the charts out here. And I'm like, you can't smell the cat urine piss smell all over the store. Yes. So I was like, well, I'm not buying anything here because a cat probably peed on it. Yeah. Not to be a jerk, but it was horribly stinky. And it's funny because who was it? Our bus driver explained to us that if you can understand somebody, I think they're supposed to be from Southern. No, they're supposed to be from Northern Ireland.
Oh, based on the
way based on talk. The accent. Yeah. And if you can't understand them, they're from Southern.
Okay.
Like, because their accent gets so thick and the way they enunciate their vowels and consonants and stuff.
It
gets real muddy and they talk really fast.
Sure, yeah.
And I might be wrong. It might be flipped. I can't remember which she told me. But one's definitely, like, the bus driver could hear him clear as day and understand him.
And you're just like,
other people I talked to, I could hear clearly. When we were sidetracked and trying to take the Irish rail, and because somebody apparently walked on the tracks and got run over, so they bussed us to the next stop.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't understand what the guy who was running the show, the security guy,
go right.
He was like, yeah. He's like, that's gonna be no. I was like, what the hell did you just say?
Whoa! Yeah, I had a lot of whiskey.
No, this was in the morning after we just woke up.
It's but, and I 9 a.m. I've had a lot of whiskey.
I said, what did that guy just say? And he's like, apparently they're putting us on a bus because somebody got run over. So we're gonna get bus to the next station and go from there. I'm all okay. All
right.
But the guys in the comic book store all talked like that. I asked him a question. A word he said.
Oh, how many times did you just nod?
Yeah, you.
I just went, okay, that's cool. That's exactly what I said. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Okay, cool.
But he's the one guy who was. He looked like a very typical comic book nerd guy.
Nice.
Okay. The glasses, the overweight, as that we all are.
Yeah.
You know, your typical classic example of what a comic nerd is. Older.
Ponytailer, man.
No. Ooh. He had short gray hair with. Big bottle, Coke bottle glass.
Okay. Oh, wow.
He's an older nerd.
He was working the toy counter part of it. And I was like, so you have, I asked him for something just to see if he had it.
Right.
Because I was just trying to have a conversation. I just wanted to see what these people were like.
And
he goes, all right, you got it. And I was like,
That's cool.
Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
He could have been told me like, hey, took your dog out in the back, shot him in the head. And I would have been like, great, dude. No idea.
What are you doing? I just cut myself to feel like I am still alive. Yeah. That's cool, bro. Yeah, that's cool. That's good. I dig it.
It could have been that. I don't know.
Fantastic.
And then I talked to the other two guys and they were a little clearer. It just, what happens is they start speaking so fast that it just gets muddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I don't usually have a hard time with accents. The only other accent I can remember having a super hard time with was a Jamaican one.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't understand it. When I was doing hardwood floors, I went to this lady's house, and she was a thick Jamaican lady. Uh-huh. Nice lady.
Yeah.
But I had to ask her to repeat herself 3 or 4 times because she would tell me what she wanted done. I'm like...
It just sounded like she was saying vowels.
Okay. No, she was like, I screw my IRE and no day. I'm like, what the hell did you just say?
Yeah. Oh. It's like, oh. Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Here's this just pad and paper. Write it down for me.
Tell me what you need.
So, but it was an experience, and I mean, being in another complete other country, I was surprised to find comic book stores. I mean, I guess I shouldn't have been in Dublin because it's a pretty major city in Ireland. Right. But I thought maybe I was going to find one. There was two I didn't even hit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because they were on the outskirts of the city, and I didn't want to. I walked everywhere in Dublin because it was actually quicker than taking the bus or the car.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
That's awesome.
So
what was your favorite one?
It would have been Forbidden Planet if it was all open.
Right.
Sure.
The problem was none of them
were. Did you buy anything?
No.
Okay.
There was too expensive.
I can't imagine how hard it would be for him to actually buy something.
Okay, no, here's something.
I'm not saying it's bad. I just was.
Yeah. No. So here's the thing. Take it. Look at our positions.
Sure.
We work and own a comic book store. Absolutely.
Yes.
I can get the stuff at cost. Right. You know, stuff we get here, I can get it. And when they have all the same representations of stuff that I can buy through
Especially
Diamond,
that, yeah.
why would I buy
yeah,
any of this?
Yeah, no. And
when I was looking for the Silver Age stuff,
I
was fine trying to find back issue stuff. None of the stores but Forbidden Planet had back issues, and I couldn't access their back issues.
No, I get it.
I didn't buy anything because it wasn't worth it for me to buy a $7 comic for $60.
Sure. No, I get it.
Whatever. No, I get it. I pay your wages. I know you couldn't afford that either.
I really couldn't.
There you go. Okay. Well,
Well, if you ever get the chance, I would say go
check it out. I think it's awesome. It is fun being a comic store owner and then going to different places and checking out stores because, you know, it really is a weird walking in and you build houses, they build houses, and you go, this is a great house. Or you go, this is not a good house. So,
dude, I go to other stores in other states.
Sure. Yeah,
I try to hit anyone I'm near just to see what
they're done that too.
Yeah.
And the thing that you always do as a owner is that you look for back issues. You go, oh, what Hellblazers do I need or whatever. Right. You don't really go, let me go buy a new comic, you know. So, okay. Well, do you want to get into our thing for the last little bit?
Yeah.
Of today?
You can cut through it, yeah.
So the last little thing we wanted to do here tonight was we wanted to do a quick little spotlight on one of Richie and I's favorite writers in comics.
Yes.
And someone who we believe and feel that should be named as the same as Jeff Johns, Grant Morrison, you know, Mark Waid, you know, just awesome writers all the time. And that's going to be Peter Tomasi.
Absolutely.
Peter Tomasi is a... he is a fantastic writer. Everything.
I don't know. Did he write anything I like?
I
believe he did. Yes.
I think he did. Yes. I think he did.
Let me be the judge.
But it's one of those things where a lot of people, you know, we've talked about this many times in store where we go, oh, we love this series or we love this book, and we go, oh, that's Peter Tomasi, and people go, who?
Oh yeah.
And we go, this guy. Yeah. So, quick little history here. Before we start talking about the stuff that we loved, Peter Tomasi started off as an editor at DC Comics.
Yep.
He was the person who helped Jeff Johns do Green Lantern Rebirth. He was the editor who said, yes, we should bring back Hal Jordan and we should do all this. Uh-huh. He was also the editor on Batman, on Aquaman, on Hawkman, on the JSA. So tons of the Jeff Johns stuff that you know and love, he was the editor of.
Yeah, it was right behind him.
He left being an editor. And the very first thing he did was a big thing was Black Adam: The Dark Age, the 6-issue miniseries.
Uh-huh.
It came out during the time of Infinite Crisis and 52 and all that, which was great. And then he started going, you know, he started going from there. He did Nightwing for the last 14 issues.
Yep.
Right there, he did Batman and Robin after Grant Morrison left. He was the writer on Green Lantern Corps during Blackest Night and for the rest of the that run. He was the co-writer of Brightest Day.
We're not hurting a child in here, just so you guys
apparently know. A customer has a child who's not happy right now.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm upset.
He was the co-writer on Brightest Day. He wrote Emerald Warriors, the Guy Gardner Green Lantern book. Mm-hmm. He wrote The Outsiders for a while. He wrote all of Volume 2 of Batman and Robin during the New 52.
Yeah.
He wrote GLC during the New 52. He wrote Robin. And then now in the Rebirth, he's writing Superman and Super Sons.
Correct.
I mean, yeah, I was looking over his page of things that he's written, and I mean, it's insane. This is just the big things, more than what he's written, like 10 issues of.
Zach and I talk like, hey, this up and comer, and he's a solid anchor.
He's a solid anchor. It's just one of those things where not a lot of people, at least, you know, I may be wrong, but I know that a lot of times we've talked in store to people, and we go, oh, that's a Peter Tomasi book, you gotta pick that up.
Yeah.
And they go,
I talked to him with this about him with the same grain I do Lemire, where I feel like you can pick up a book with his name on it, and it will be good, at the very least.
Yes.
You may not be interested in the content in which he's writing.
Sure.
But I think that I have not read anything that's been bad. It will be good.
Yeah. I've not read anything that's Tomasi, it's been bad. He wrote one of my favorite one-shots.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about it during our one-shot show, and I want to talk about it again. He did Final Crisis Requiem, which is the funeral for Martian Manhunter.
Yes.
Love that one-shot. He wrote Blackest Night Batman, that miniseries.
Yep.
He wrote 13 issues of Superman Wonder Woman, which were awesome. So again, it's just one of those things, and if you read any of the Batman and Robin from the New 52, the Robin Damian stuff, the search for Robin that they did, he did that stuff.
The thing about it is that through the podcast in the last 62 episodes, you've heard his name several times because we've run into him so often, and he just kind of takes us by surprise every time, and he shouldn't. The thing that I think he does brilliantly is he creates... I don't want to say an empathy, but a humanity to each superhero, where they feel like gods, but they have this humanity to them that it becomes super relatable, and he nails that every time, whether that's through Damian or Alfred getting over the loss of Damian, or Super Sons, where they're just kids trying to be superheroes. The children to superheroes and live up to that name.
Yep. The father-son dynamic that's going on in Superman that they've done since Rebirth, which has really taken a lot of people's minds and imaginations. They, you know, like I said, Superman, written by Tomasi, has been a big hit for Rebirth. Again, and if you read Blackest Night or anything around it, he was the one who's writing Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
You know, he was the one that was helping with a lot of that stuff, Blackest Night Batman, and some of the one-shots that they did.
Right.
So...
And that's the thing I like about him, too, is he's not afraid to go big. The return of Damian, where Batman has to find the dark side armor of the Black Bat and wear that and go into, you know...
Yes.
Darkseid's planet Apocalypse and go through the... like. To go that big and still bring it back to a point where he's essentially just Batman being... Because what he's doing in Superman now, he did in Batman and Robin before the reboot. It was Batman trying to process that he's a father. And, and he does it in different ways. He's found the voice for Batman and Superman. And, you know, he knows how to hone in on that voice to that character and really pull out... relatability to him.
Yes, exactly. And like you said, the thing I just give him so much credit for is that whenever he's on a book, I just am... I just have the sense, the relief, that it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Are we saying that everything he's ever written is some of the greatest comics ever and they change the entire world? No. But what we're saying is that I don't think there's anything on this list... There might be something on his, like, four pages of credits that, you know, wasn't great. But everything on this list that I personally read, none of it has ever been bad.
Disappointing to you.
Nothing has ever been like, you know, that was not worth the money. You go, this was solid. This was great. This was wonderful. And that happens all the time with him.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a credit. I think that he's fantastic at, just like you said, getting down to the heart of the characters.
Yeah.
The heart of what's going on.
The way I judge writing is how badly it affects me or catches me or brings me into the content. And a lot of times I relate that to how I'm physically reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And Tomasi has been one of the sole writers that actually have made me cry during a comic book. I'll give that to him. I'll give that to Kirkman. And Lemire got me close. But if you can make me weep...
Did you finish reading Sweet Tooth?
I have not.
Yeah, well, you're probably crying.
I'll cry on that one as well. But like those that type of writing, that can bring you to a physical reaction, deserves to be celebrated. And unlike Lemire and you know his peers, Snyder,
Geoff Johns,
you don't hear his name often enough. So I feel like when you and I, because we talk about him so much, I felt like we needed just this quick spotlight on how great that writer actually is.
Yes, and if you don't know who he is, or you're going, oh, I've read that, and I like that or whatever, that's him. That's his quality. And you can always tell when it's a Tomasi book, because like you said, it always brings it down to the humanity,
mm-hmm.
No matter what he's doing.
I want to add that Gleason... is probably
they usually work together.
The
yeah.
perfect pair with yes. him as well, because yeah. he as well seems to find that ability to create. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it, but it like relaxes your shoulders when you're looking at it. It's not distracting. It isn't. It doesn't make
it's
you.
It's good.
It just relaxes you.
It's
and,
good
and lulls you into. You know. Kind of really take in the writing.
Sure.
So.
Yes. Well, no, that's things that, yeah, like you said, I think that creative team is good. When you pick that up, whatever they're doing, he worked on him with Green Lantern Corps, mm-hmm. He worked on him with Batman and Robin, mm-hmm. he worked on with him when they were doing Robin
yep.
on Superman right now.
Right now he's doing Superman.
So again, but like I said, and you know, this is just from my personal experience, that every time I go, oh, it's Tomasi and Gleason.
Yeah.
I don't go, is this going to, should I read this? Is
there's
this
no question.
Be, there's no question for me. I go, it's going to be good. And I read it and I go, yep, that was good. sometimes I go, oh, this was really good. Sometimes this was crazy good.
Right.
But I've never gone, oh, man, that sucked.
Oof, I don't know what he was trying to do there.
Yeah, no. I always go, yep, that was good. Mm. Every time. And I think that's really hard to do.
Yeah,
because I think that even the, really good writers, you know, sometimes they have some real big missteps.
Right.
And like I said, I'm sure probably there's one book or two books out there, but
a lot of people disliked Damian getting superpowers at one point.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know, and even that, where I would say like, it's not the best. It's great. It's fine.
Sure. Yep.
It's something that needed to be addressed because he was reborn from death.
Yes.
Outside of a Lazarus pit with the power of a god crystal.
Yes.
So why not go into that? Why not kind of break into
yes.
what that means to the character?
Yeah. Yes. Why can't things like that just happen to me?
Right? They were temporary, so.
Yeah. But again, like you said, he god likes crystals. To go for it. He, you know, he was the editor that said, let's bring back Hal Jordan with Geoff Johns. And, you know, and everyone's
where
like...
Where is the comic book industry without that, right?
Yep.
DC especially.
Yep. Yeah, I guess he was the editor on some of the beginning stuff of Grant Morrison's run. He did Aquaman, you know, like I said, Hawkman, the JSA. Again, bringing some of those characters back and going, no, Hawkman can work.
Yeah.
JSA can work. And, yeah, he was an editor for a long time. At DC before he became a writer, and he decided he wanted to write as well. And that doesn't always translate, because some people want to become writers and who are editors, and
it doesn't work out.
So, and again, like I said, when I was looking through the list of stuff getting ready for this, I just was going, oh yeah, I like that book. I like that book. I'd forgot that he'd done the Black Adam book, which is a really... dark, great 6-issue miniseries on Black Adam.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was really good. Again, like I said, The Requiem. I read it again last night in preparation for this, and it has one of my most
did you
heartfelt.
Weep again?
Kind of, yeah.
do you eat Oreos when you do it?
No,
you
I didn't
should.
Have any Oreos.
No, because he might choke if he starts crying.
That's
no,
right.
You just
choke and die on an Oreo would be ironic, dude.
You just
don't do it.
You don't eat it until afterwards. This
oh,
is this
yes.
is going to be it from now on. Every time you get that comic out, you light a candle.
Yes.
And then you, as you're reading, you place one Oreo on your chest.
Bro, you're making this weird.
how is that weird?
No, but you have to have
after you've done red, you eat it and you walk out.
But okay,
is that
so,
like eating his soul? There's something wrong there with you.
I defy you to tell me what's wrong with that. That's
no, but
your
I don't have Batman putting it on my chest.
So. I'll come in and I'll put it on
your
chest.
Okay.
That just got weirder.
What? How did that? How's that weird? It's a friend giving a friend an Oreo. I don't know.
That's right. but anyway, this one shot is fantastic. It's a great pickup. In fact, if you're local or if you can find this issue, you should just pick it up or read it. Even if you haven't read Final Crisis.
No, just,
you can. Martian Manhunter dies.
There you go.
That's the setup for the funeral.
Yes.
So,
he gets better.
He does get better eventually. But this is about the Justice League and Black Canary and Batman and everybody coming to grips with the loss of a friend and the heart of the Justice League. You know, and what does that do to everybody? So,
makes him sad. Okay.
Yeah, but again,
check out Tomasi's stuff. Yeah,
that's just our spotlight on the man,
Peter Tomasi.
And I think you should check it out.
Absolutely. Okay, guys. Well, we will be back next week with some more comic goodness. Again.
Welcome back, Sean.
Yes, welcome back, Sean. and we will check you guys out on the Flippity Flop.
Yes. See
ya. You're
all fired. All right, bye. You guys still here?
Oh, I bet they are.
All right, if you guys are here, we're just doing a last little announcement here that I Want More Comics does two book clubs every single month.
That's right.
The second to last Thursday and the last Thursday of every month, we have a book club. The second to last is a manga book club where we sit around and we talk about different mangas. Right now, we're going through the Dragon Ball Saga. Once we get through that, we'll be going through other famous mangas that people would like to sit, read, and talk about.
Yeah.
The last Thursday of every month, we do a comic book club where we pick different things. We've done things like Day Tripper. We've done things like Dark Knight, a Paul Dini story.
We Three by Grant Morrison.
We've done tons of stuff, and that's always changing. The great thing about this, guys, is if you want to participate, we make it super easy. Both the manga and the comic book club, whatever we're choosing. You guys can get an awesome discount. If you are a Holdslot member with I Want More Comics, you can get them both for 30% off for the entire month whatever month they're in. If you are not a Holdslot member, you're just somebody who likes to come in, walk in, have fun, you still get 25% off all the time on those titles. This is just an awesome way for us to talk comics, get great comics into people's hands, and to spread the love. So, that's going to be the second to last and the last Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time here at the store. We just hang out and talk some awesome comics.
So it sounds like all you have to do is buy a comic book and then come hang out with us and talk about it.
Exactly. So if you're interested, just stop by. We always have it at the front counter. Mm-hmm. And it's a great time, so be sure to check it out.
Absolutely. Until next time.
Yep, talk to you guys later. Bye.